You're listening to Community Group Spotlight. I'm Teresa Argue. Community Group Spotlight is a feature that gives community groups, charities and volunteer organisations a chance to share the mission and aims of the work they do in the community.
You're listening to Life FM. We're talking to Deirdre Lillis, who works with the organisation called the Cork Advocacy Service. We're talking for a few minutes today on Life FM about supports in the community for people who are coming across mental health issues, all kinds of mental health issues. And Deirdre, you work with an organisation called CAS, the Cork Advocacy Service. Deirdre, what is CAS?
Okay, CAS is a relatively small project of a group of people who primarily do volunteer work, and I look after the volunteers. And the volunteer work is around providing an advocacy service to people in Cork who, through difficulties of health or disability or ageing, are struggling to get their voices heard and their rights and entitlements respected. So that's kind of our job, is to support people to ensure that they can get their rights respected. And of course, that includes people who may be defined as having a mental health problem and may be in contact with mental health services. But of course, it's much broader than that, as you say, and that mental health struggles can be impacting on people wherever they are, and they don't necessarily have to be in touch with the service to have those kind of struggles.
Mm-hmm. What actually is an advocate?
Okay. And it's a common misunderstanding that people often think it is about legal advocacy. For Cork Advocacy Service, it's about somebody who's trained in the skills of independent advocacy. So somebody who's not connected to a service in relation to the HSE or any other service provider, who can be beside somebody to support them to get their voice heard where they feel they're not being listened to. Mm-hmm. That's the basics of it, really. And it can get more complicated than that, in terms of sometimes people might want the advocate to actually represent them and speak for them, or it could be less complicated than that, in that they could just want somebody to talk something through with in preparation for going to a meeting, and people may well then go to a meeting on their own or write the letter on their own or whatever. So it can vary from accompanying somebody and just being beside them, to speaking on somebody's behalf in relation to something that might be difficult for them to say themselves.
Yeah. So I suppose, Deirdre, in the Cork Advocacy Service, an advocate is somebody really who supports somebody literally physically by going to maybe a doctor's meeting or maybe a health service meeting or something. Yep. It could also be supporting somebody to fill out forms, like we were talking about earlier, maybe to source their entitlements if they were suffering from some kind of an illness or a disability, because sometimes if you're, I suppose, unwell and not feeling the best, it's difficult to fill out forms, and especially the state forms,
absolutely,
at the best of times.
Absolutely,
yeah. So an advocate is somebody who can listen and support. What about direction, Deirdre? Do advocates with the Cork Advocacy Service give direction to people?
No, an advocate's role is not to direct. It's to support people to find the information they need, support them to understand the information that they've got, and support them to think about the options they've got and the decisions they want to take themselves. So it's very much about being there beside somebody and being on the side of somebody, but not to direct the person at all.
Okay.
Now, we do have, there are instances, of course, in the people that we may come into contact with, where people may not be able to instruct us.
Okay.
People, for example, who may have profound intellectual disability and may have no verbal language, or people who are in the later stages of dementia who may not be in a position to say, I need you to do this. And then we move into a slightly different type of advocacy, but it's still not about giving direction. It's still about asking questions in relation to that person's particular wishes and their particular will and preference, which is all change. It's changing culturally in Ireland as well. It's changing with the law.
So, and I think it's a good thing, Deirdre. I think, you know, if people are struggling in some manner or form, that it's good to have somebody independent by their side to say what they want to have said. An advocate, are you peer advocates or?
Well, peer advocate would be, maybe just explain my understanding of peer advocate, would be somebody who, say, in mental health, and you and I both know that the Irish Advocacy Network would be the leading organisation in relation to peer advocacy. The people who do that work are people who have had their own experience of mental distress and mental health services. Now, we're not led by that. That's not a condition of being an advocate. But of course, what we try to do is we deliver a training programme, and we try to ensure that in that training programme, people from all walks of life get an an opportunity to train to become advocates. So that could potentially lead to somebody who has had experience of mental health services becoming an advocate. Mm-hmm. So it's there informally, but it's not a formal definition of who we are.
So Deirdre, again, coming back to the support that's available from the Cork Advocacy Service, I suppose I'm kind of really focusing on supporting people who are maybe distressed mental health-wise or anxiety or whatever it is. Do you come across a lot of stigma around mental health, people who use mental health services or people who are struggling that way? Do you think the stigma has changed?
It's difficult to say. I think one of the difficulties, because my work is advocacy, the people that come to me are people who are having the struggles. So I don't get a sense of the broader picture of the people who are perhaps all getting they're happy with the service they get. Yeah. So my vision is blurred by everybody who comes to us needing that assistance. So from where I sit, I still experience people who struggle with stigma. We do have quite a number of people who come to us in relation to child protection and children being taken into care, and then them trying to have a say and have their rights respected in that system. And it just feels, I think generally, I think there's research out there as well as what I feel, is that the bar is very high in terms of the expectations of people who may be defined as having a mental health problem in relation to their capacity to look after children. Mm. The parenting skills levels are very high. So it feels biased as a real struggle for people.
And then I suppose a lot of the time when you're trying to live up to somebody else's standards, it can cause more stress upon stress.
You know, if I imagine that I had kind of, you know, hefty official people who had the powers to remove my children kind of watching my every move, then I think most of us parents might potentially fail at different times.
Whether we had issues or not.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Deirdre, I suppose you were talking about the advocacy, and it can be varied. It can be quite intricate, or it can be just sitting down listening to somebody discussing options with people. Would that be another?
I mean, one of the things that we do with the course is that we spend a lot of time with people talking about listening, because it sounds such a simple thing, but it's the critical thing, and I think it's the most important thing in terms of people's struggles with the services not being listened
heard.
To
being heard is very important.
And
I suppose even, you know, within the services or without of the services, sometimes people don't feel heard anyway. And sometimes if people were down or not feeling the best, having your voice is, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to be heard then as well.
Very difficult.
And people can be shy. People, you know, there can be lots of different aspects to it.
And the history of advocacy stems from the notion of that kind of inequity in relation to the power relationship. We all know, you know, when I think of my father going to the doctor, my father put a suit on to go to the doctor and he did as he was told. You know, there was all those. Now that shifted, you know, I think in some places with some people. So that imbalance, but there is automatically that imbalance so that you feel, you know, you can, as you say, you're vulnerable anyway, you're distressed, and then you feel disempowered to some degree because, you know, this is an expert. So an advocate isn't an expert. An advocate is just there to be beside you, to help you walk your way through that struggle, you know?
But I suppose the importance of an advocate is to have somebody with you to encourage you and empower you to do it for yourself if you can, and to say things for yourself and to fill out forms and whatever for yourself. But if you actually can't do it, then somebody can support you, an advocate can support you to do it.
Go along beside you.
Go along beside.
That would be the ideal. We wouldn't, I mean, there is the habit of, you know, kind of automatically just doing for, and people do that, you know, full of good intention. Because not doing it that way takes more time. So listening and time are kind of the two critical things that kind of can get lost even when people are attached to services. So giving people time to learn the skills to support themselves is, you know, something that can be a struggle for people in service provision because they are pushed, you know.
And Deirdre, do you support people in the community and maybe living in homes or living in high support hostels or
So in terms of mental health, I would have to say that our focus has not been on say inpatient services. And I think that's primarily in the past because that's been the remit of the Irish Advocacy Network. But we certainly support people in the community. And perhaps using community services. And we also support that our work in relation to institutions tends to be more in relation to the older institutions that are still around where people with intellectual disabilities live and older people's resources, you know, so those kind of institutions. So at the moment, our work is less connected with residential mental health services. it's more about intellectual disability and older people's services. But of course, in those areas, there's plenty of struggles in relation to people's mental health just not being defined in that way.
And I suppose, like, everybody can have mental health issues, whether it's older people or whatever it is. Yeah. But you spoke as well about the training, that you had training courses, Deirdre. I just want to maybe pick you up on that. What exactly are the training courses about?
It's an accredited QQI level 6. It's what's replaced VTAC. So it's an accredited training.
Okay.
But it's a minor award. So it's, you know, it's basically is open to anybody who's interested in learning about independent advocacy. And that course runs for a period of approximately 3 to 4 months. It runs every 2 years. We're just coming to completing this year's course.
And I suppose you're part of this 93.1 Life FM community project is just giving people information and support.
Yes.
If people can make a phone call and be directed, I think that's half the battle.
Yes.
And the phone number for the Cork Advocacy Service is 021-466-6180. That's the Cork Advocacy Service on the SHEP line, the Social and Health Education Project line, on 021-466-6180. Deirdre Lillis, thank you very much for coming in and joining us today. I really appreciate the information and the sharing.
This has been Community Group Spotlight, shining the light on community groups around Cork. Our Facebook page is Life FM Cork, where you can find information about the community group featured today.